This is Kevin Burke from the Department of Kinesiology, Laser, and Sports Sciences at East Tennessee State University. Thanks for joining Burke on Mayberry. Today's episode is Opie's Charity. It's listed in most books as episode number 5, but it was actually aired as episode number 8. It was aired on November 28th, 1960. The writer was Arthur Stander, and the director was Don Weiss. Opie's Charity really focuses on the underprivileged children's charity drive, which was going on at Opie's school. There was a lady by the name of Annabelle Selby who plays really two roles in this episode. One is that she's the leader of this charity drive, and number two, her husband has supposedly passed away, and she put on a grand funeral some time ago. But this particular episode opens in a cute way. You see Opie and Andy in front of the courthouse, and Andy has a catcher's mitt, and Opie has a baseball glove, and he's pretending to be a pitcher, and he throws a pitch, and Andy tells him he's got a strike, and then Annabelle comes along talking to Andy, and without her knowing it, Andy takes her umbrella, puts it on her shoulder, and squats down, and Opie throws another pitch to Andy while she's standing there, and she looks like a batter in the batter's box. And so it's sort of a funny way to start out the episode. But later on in the episode, what we find out is that two major themes are going on in this show. One is that Annabelle supposedly told everybody that her husband was dead and that he was run over by a taxi cab going to Charlottesville. But later on in the episode, Tom, who was Annabelle's husband, actually shows up. So Andy realizes that Annabelle, who's a very proud woman, did not want to admit she couldn't hold on to her husband, so she concocted this funeral. And it's funny how they deal with the fact Tommy coming back to live in Mayberry. And actually, Andy takes Tom Selby out to his gravesite, and they look at his headstone where it says RIP and has all the information on the headstone. And they have a little funny conversation about talking about him being alive, but he's buried there. And again, that sort of continues to the end of the episode. The other major portion of this episode is Opie giving to the charity. One of the things that Andy finds out from Annabelle is that Opie has only given 3 cents to the charity, and that's the lowest amount of money any kid at school has given. The second lowest was 5 cents by one of Opie's friends, and that kid was in one of the underprivileged children. So Andy gets extremely upset because Opie's not given more money to the charity, and he's really disappointed in Opie. And he has a couple of conversations with Opie trying to get him to realize that he needs to give more money. Andy even asks Opie how much money he has in his piggy bank, and that's going to be our trivia question a little bit later on. And Opie tells him, and so Andy, you know, just doesn't understand why Opie won't give more money. And then finally, Opie explains that he's trying to save money to buy something for his girlfriend. So Andy really gets bothered because instead of giving to a charity, which is a good thing, Opie's trying to buy a present for his girlfriend, and his head's being turned by women at such a young age. So Andy said, I hate to see what it's going to be like when you grow up if your head's already being turned right now by young women. So again, what happens later on in the episode is that Aunt B's talking to Andy, and Andy's going on about Opie not doing the charity like he should, and Aunt B starts to really get on Andy and chastise and said, you're beginning to sound proud like Annabelle Selby. You're worried about what other people think because he's the sheriff's son and he hasn't given a lot of money to the charity. So Andy realizes that he is being just a little bit too proud, and he asks Opie to come down, and after a little bit more conversation with Opie, he realizes that the reason Opie hadn't given more money to the underprivileged children's charity drive was that Opie was saving money to buy his young girlfriend a coat. And the reason that he was buying her a coat is he had asked her about getting a new coat because her coat was worn, and she said her mother didn't have enough money. So again, an episode where Opie's character, again, this is early on in the series, is being established. He's a really good boy. Opie doesn't get into much bad trouble throughout the show, but this is one of those episodes, that, again, showing Opie to be the good kid that everybody knows that he is. Another funny part of the episode is when Tom shows up back in town. You know, Andy's astounded because supposedly he'd been buried 2 years ago, and he explains the whole situation to Tom, and so Andy calls Annabelle to say, you wouldn't believe who's standing right here beside me. And Tom's trying to stop Andy from doing it. And Andy turns around and says, Tom, if you don't quit interrupting me, I'm going to arrest you for being a disorderly corpse. So again, the sense of humor of Andy Taylor showing through. Again, in this early episode, you hear the, and it's pretty much throughout the first season, you hear the country talking of Andy Griffith and the other characters, which, you know, will subside, you know, later on. But again, basically the major person in this show is Andy. You know, Barney doesn't even appear in this particular episode. And so, again, it's Andy being the, you know, Andy's sort of the person who has the trouble in this episode, but he sort of works it out himself with Opie. Now, one of the things I wanted to mention, I want to dedicate this particular podcast to Earl Hagen. Many of you have probably heard that name and don't recognize where who Earl Hagen is. Earl Hagen was a musician. He wrote a bunch of songs. He did some things from the Andy Griffith Show and some other shows. But he was the one who actually whistled the theme song to the Andy Griffith Show, which you hear at the beginning and end of this podcast, and, of course, at the end of every Andy Griffith Show. So if you'd like to read a little bit more about Earl Hagen, you can go to EarlHagen.net, and that's spelled EarlHagen.net. Before we have our trivia question, let's continue with a little bit of a background information on the Andy Griffith Show. One of the things I wanted to talk about, we talked about in the last podcast about how Barney Fife or Don Knotts came up with the character of Barney Fife. One of the things that we really want to focus on today, and we'll talk about it very briefly, is how the relationship between Andy and Barney. In the book, The Andy Griffith Show by Richard Kelly, they talk about how people sometimes really didn't understand, and when I'm talking about people, talking about other writers, the relationship between Andy and Barney. While Andy kidded Barney and Barney kidded Andy, there was one underlying theme to their relationship. They were very fond of each other. Sure, they would do things to make each other mad, but you understood that behind that kidding, it was always based upon fondness. That was always in the background. And again, and throughout the entire Andy Griffith Show, Andy was always very protective of Barney. He did things to make Barney look good, to help him along. So again, you know, Barney many times attempted to do the same for Andy, but it would backfire. And Andy would have to turn around and do things to make Barney look good. Remember the cave rescue, which we'll talk about later on in another episode. Remember, no matter what happened to Andy, whatever happened to Barney, Andy was always by his side. So again, while there's lots of barbs and jabs at each other, there's always a fondness. You don't see that a lot of times in some of the situation comedies that are on television today. All right, are you ready for the trivia question? The trivia question is, how much money did Opie say he had in his piggy bank? Again, the trivia question is, how much money did Opie have saved in his piggy bank? Again, if you want to find the answer to this trivia question, you can go to burkeonmayberry.com, or you can email your answer to me, and I'll respond and let you know if you got it right or wrong. You can email me at burkek@etsu.edu. I appreciate you listening to Burke on Mayberry, and as they would say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours.